Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. Today is February 7th, 2017. I'm your host, Professor Chris, and with me, I got our Sleeper Wire prophet, Hussein. What's up, man?
What is up, man?
What's going? It is going well. I'm still on that Super Bowl high.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I felt it was like a blank feeling. Just I couldn't believe that Bill Belichick did not come up with some, you know, he completely threw it in the wind and said, I'm not going to cheat this year. And I was really surprised by that. So, I was just kind of in awe that they lost, you know. Just
yeah, like, real integrity move there, Bill.
No, in all seriousness, great game. Wow. You know, Nick Foles, especially I was watching this clip today about, you know, that play that it was called like a Philly special, actually, where he, you know, that the sneak play where, you know, they went for it and Foles catches the touchdown. Foles actually called that play.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, he went over and was like, hey, let's do it.
Yeah. And the coach looks at him for like 2 seconds and was like, yeah. Yeah, let's do it. I was just like, yep. You know, like almost like, I don't know. But yeah, that was really cool. Great game.
Absolutely.
Even though I hate both teams.
And you know what? This is a perfect segue into what we're doing tonight. Aside from some news that we're going to get into later, let's go ahead and kick it off with the Super Bowl recap.
Let's do it.
Eagles. Man, this was one of the most exciting games I've ever watched. I love offense when I'm watching a football game. I don't want low-scoring defensive games. I want points, and that's exactly what we got. This set the NFL record for total yards in a game, and not the Super Bowl record and not the playoff record, the NFL record, with the second highest total points in a Super Bowl with 74 after only the 49ers and Chargers back in 1995.
Insane. It was a special one.
Yes, very, very fun. And you know that there was no defense because there's only one punt. Only one turnover by each team. Yep. Only one sack all game, and it was that sack fumble by Brandon Graham on Brady.
That was nice.
Yeah. Yep. If you're going to watch a game where, you know, one side of the ball is not very good, you want both teams to have bad defenses and good offenses.
Yeah. Lions fans, though, Matt Patricia. I mean, how excited are you after that last performance?
Yeah,
I guess I'm excited as the Giants. Me as a fan of.
We'll get into that when we get to
the stinker.
We'll hit that when we get to the news. Some more stats from the game: 54 total first downs, 42 of them passing. I feel like that's a lot.
Special.
Yeah. Eagles had no first downs via penalty. Patriots got 2 first downs due to penalties. I thought it was a pretty evenly called game, aside from maybe a very questionable Corey Clement touchdown reception.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there was a couple questionable ones there.
Yep, but I'm glad they got the Zach Ertz call right.
Exactly. Yeah, yep. That was a good one.
That's one that the Patriots won 3 games this year because those touchdowns got overturned.
Yeah.
So they made the right call there. Yep. 4 fourth downs or fourth down attempts this game. Eagles got both of theirs. Patriots went 1 for 2. And of course, as you alluded to, fourth and goal in the second quarter. And Doug Peterson's like, you know what? You want to see how big my balls are? Watch this.
Oh, man. That was great.
Yeah. Was great. Some guys have balls of steel. This guy has balls of diamond, man.
Yes.
Just that is the gutsiest call I've ever seen in a Super Bowl. You know, maybe Sean Payton onside kicking to the Colts in that Super Bowl, which ended up working out for him. But I think this one was gutsier.
What was more gutsy, just the fact that he went for it or the play?
Oh, the fact that he went for it. Super Bowl, you take the points.
Yeah, I you know what? I was arguing with a couple people, you know, at a Super Bowl party I hosted, and I was like, you know what? I'm going for this. You know, this is the Super Bowl. You're playing the Patriots. You got to go for it. You're right here. You went all this way, and at the end at halftime, when they talked to him about it, he said that exact same thing, and I was just like, "Yeah, that was my exact mindset. You're playing the Patriots. You got to go for it. This is the Super Bowl, and it's the Patriots. So you kind of have to do a little bit. You kind of got to go against the grain, and it worked out for him. And you know, I don't want to say I'm glad because they're the Eagles, but I'm glad for their fans.
Yeah, absolutely. For the ones that didn't go start fires and eat horses
hey now.
Out of the street
and topple
climb
cars.
The street lights and turn cars over and try to flip over a fire truck. I mean,
for the sane
there
ones.
Weren't too many of those.
Yeah, for the sane ones. Yeah. The ones we didn't see on all over Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. For the ones that maybe you were recording the video and not in the video.
Yeah, shaking your head as you were recording.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, it's that play call was just – it was great.
Yeah,
it great was game. A perfectly called play, great game. I loved it. I thought the halftime show was great.
Great. Yeah, it brought me back. You know, that was a – that was one of my favorite albums, you know, that Justin Timberlake – he had a couple of really good songs as soon as he went solo. And, you know, I guess he had so much success, you know, digressing a little bit. He just took a break, but then he comes back in the Super Bowl and it was like, where'd you go? Why? You know, it was great. You know, I felt like a fan. I felt like I sung all the songs and it was surprising that I knew him, like, you know, like I almost forgot about, you know, half of
this is the Justin Timberlake Love Hour by Sleeper Wire.
Yeah, I need a Julian here.
Emphasis on sleep.
Justin, just give me a call.
Oh, no, I loved how they choreographed it with downtown Minneapolis, where it just lit up with the Prince symbol during that tribute. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that was the best part, of course.
That was awesome. It was really cool to be up there. I was in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl. You know, not for the Super Bowl. I was up there. I'm not made of money. I didn't go to the Super Bowl. But up there, went to the Mall of America. I saw Adrian Peterson at the mall, which was really cool. And Matt Forte just chilling in the Nike store.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of that. I'm glad you had the proof there because, you know, like they say, picks or it didn't happen.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, Adrian Peterson, the closest I could get to him was all the way zoomed in on my phone, standing behind probably at least 1,000 people on an escalator while it's moving.
Could you smell the horse manure that he was talking from where you were?
Oh, yeah. About playing four more years. Yeah. No, I was already up on the third floor of Macy's by then.
Okay, all right. You were far away from it.
Yeah. No, it's good for Vikings fans to, you know, be able to see him again because he's one of the all-time greats there.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. It was awesome. No, it was just the whole city was super cool. To be up there for the Super Bowl. So I'm glad some cold weather cities are finally getting in there.
Getting some love.
One more important thing from the game. Malcolm Butler was benched aside from some special teams plays. And I feel like nobody really knows why yet. We've heard a bunch of different conflicting reports. Belichick said that it's due to football play. Other reports have said he was sick or he missed curfew or he possessed marijuana. And then Malcolm Butler's denying all of this. So what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those strange things. And I mean, he's obviously a goner, you know.
Yeah, he's not going to be a Patriot next year.
Yeah.
Nope, not at all. But yeah, it's just I want to know, you know, like, why would you not play arguably your best defender?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that cost him the game. I think that's kind of, you know, it's kind of harsh to
Nick Foles.
He was that good.
Yeah, he was that good. One last thing from the game. Brandon Cooks was knocked unconscious, it looked like.
Oh, my God.
Concussion on the field. He got hit. Was it Malcolm Jenkins who hit him?
Oh, my God. That play was woof.
It was bad. It was a helmet-to-helmet hit. Perfectly legal because Cooks was a runner at that point. So the refs did a good job not calling a penalty. 100% legal hit, but, man, he got rocked.
He got rocked.
Yeah, that was rough. So hoping that he's going to be okay. I'm sure he will be by next season.
Yep.
But yeah, just a bad hit. But let's go ahead and break down both sides of the ball here. So the Eagles, Nick Foles, 28 of 43 for 373 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 1-yard receiving touchdown on 4th and goal, as we were talking about earlier, thrown by Trey Burton.
Yeah. what more can you say? You know, if you had him in DraftKings and, you know, one of those weird offensive matchups that they had out there, you can only grab couple offensive players, some defensive players, you were pretty happy. But everybody had the quarterback, because, you know, but yeah, great game.
Man, how happy do you think the Eagles are that they traded or that they have Nick Foles under contract, because they're going to get a massive return for him now?
I think the Redskins are kind of getting the same idea, you know, knowing that they have kind of two franchise quarterbacks in Alex Smith and Cousins, you know, now because there was word and it's a good move. I mean, it's good for your franchise. It sucks for and Cousins, you know, respect as far as franchising him, but it's a smart move. And yeah, the Foles, they're gonna get something nice for him.
They've already come out and said that Carson Wentz is our guy. He's our franchise quarterback. He is the future. They don't have any doubts that he's going to be ready to go for next season as of this point. Yeah, things can change. But there's no need for them to have Nick Foles aside from him being a backup. And
isn't he paid, though? I feel like he's got paid nicely, or am I wrong?
He's going to make a lot more money after this.
Right.
Yeah, and he's going to get a really good return for the Eagles. So they've got to be extremely happy about that. Nick Foles has to be happy about it, too. Aside from, you know, winning the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP, you get a ton of money.
I drafted Nick Foles in the 8th round that year after he, you know, had that great, you know, year.
Oh, yeah.
He was fine for me the first couple weeks. Nothing great at all. But he was fine for me the first couple weeks, and then, yeah, he just crapped it afterwards.
And then Jeff Fisher.
Yep. Jeff Fisher happened.
All right, so through the air, Corey Clement, 4 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. We talked about that maybe he didn't quite get that second foot down, or because it looked like he lost control of the ball after the first step.
Yeah, but the whole change in the call. So I for sure, when I saw the replay, I said, oh, that's coming back. But it's like one of the announcers said, I can't remember his name, you know, who knows anymore? You know, like you can't call it anymore.
Right. I was certainly glad that it was ruled correctly. Alshon Jeffrey, 3 for 73 and a touchdown with an amazing catch.
Yeah, beautiful.
He was awesome. Nelson Agholor had a big game, 9 for 84. Zach Ertz, 7 for 67 and a touchdown. The one where he was a runner, so when he dove for the end zone and the ball came out, it was not an incomplete pass.
Right.
Yep. LeGarrette Blount, massive day on the ground, 14 for 90 and a touchdown. That's really good for the Super Bowl, especially when you got Jay Ajayi, you get 9 carries for 57 yards. So who would you rather have next season if it's both Blount and Ajayi and Clement? Are you taking any of them?
Sure. I take one of them to flex, you know, but other than that, I'm not spending a high round pick on any of these guys. I think that no one is, but I think they will be fantasy relevant. I wouldn't be surprised if they are all fantasy relevant, because I think that they are all pretty good given touches, as we saw last season, and give them all another year together. If they don't decide to just lean on Ajayi, which I don't think they're going to do. I think they'll all be semi-relevant, you know, nothing more.
Well, so if you had to pick one in a vacuum, who would you like to have the most?
I mean, obviously Ajayi has the most upside, you know.
All right, well, there we go. Last piece for the Eagles here, Jake Elliott, 46-yard field goal was the longest ever kicked by a rookie in a Super Bowl, and I think he broke that record twice, didn't he?
Yeah,
he was 41. Did. He hit a 42-yarder and then a 46-yarder.
Yep. So, pretty impressive.
I don't know how. Yeah, breaking two of the exact same record in one day is pretty good. 3 for 3 on field goals, 2 for 3 on extra points. Just ice in his veins. For a rookie kicker, he was huge.
The Eagles are amazing at getting kickers. Like, they just are. Like, I have their kickers every year in fantasy, I feel like, and they're just amazing. You know, yeah, Caleb Sturgis was great before he got injured. And
David Akers.
Yeah, Akers. And they always have Feely. They always have great kickers. Always.
Yeah, they do. They don't stick around for a long time, it seems, but
no,
they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So just overall dominance on the Eagles' side of the ball. The Patriots, Tom Brady, 28 of 48 for 505 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a dropped pass. I had to throw that one in there. Yeah, huge day for Tom Brady. The drop pass, obviously, you know, I loved. But Foles caught his, so I think Foles is now the GOAT, right?
Yeah, instantly.
Yep.
That instantly makes him, you know, the GOAT, like, easily.
Yeah, that's how it works.
At least in the world of, like, memes and pop culture and fun.
Well, you know, that's where we live these
right.
days. But they had trouble deciding on a running back to use. James White, only 7 carries, 45 yards and a touchdown. Deion Lewis, 9 carries for 39 yards. Rex Burkhead, only 3 carries for 18 yards.
Patriots gonna pay.
Yep. It's exactly what it seems like. Receiving, Danny Amendola and Chris Hogan and Gronkowski all had huge days. Amendola, 8 for 152. Hogan, 6 for 128 and a touchdown. Gronkowski, 9 for 116 and two touchdowns. Just like we said, no offense. And the Patriots hit big play after big play the entire game.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, it was just, you know, it was one of those games that just you didn't want to end. You know, like I wanted to, as much as, you know, I didn't want, you know, the Patriots to tie the game. I wanted to them to tie the game just to see the game go on because it was such a fun game to watch.
And how fitting did a Patriots Super Bowl once again come down to one play?
Yeah.
Seems like it happens every year.
Yeah. Yeah. Only they're usually on the opposite side, you know, and must be a division thing, you know. I don't know. Giants got their number, then the Eagles. I don't know. Must be a division thing.
Did you see that meme that was going around that was Tom Brady is now 0-3 in Super Bowls in which Eli Manning makes an appearance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw the other one I thought was fun where Fred from I'm pretty sure you saw this one. Fred from Scooby-Doo was pulling off Nick Foles' mask and under it was Eli Manning. That was another.
Oh, that's perfect.
That was a good one.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
I saw a video today of there's a street in Philly called Brady Street, and Eagles fans made a sign that said Foles Street and slid it over top of it.
Yeah, that's just great. It's definitely fun. You know, this day and age that we live in with all the memes and the pop culture. It, you know, makes all this stuff, and it's so instant. It makes it so much more fun. You know, it's just turning to the internet afterwards and seeing all this crazy stuff that's up there.
It certainly does. Last piece for the Patriots here. Steven Gostkowski missed a field goal and an extra point. Now, granted, we know the Patriots lost by 8. So if you add those together, it's only 4. But that doesn't factor in the momentum.
Yeah, definitely not at all. And very, very, very uncharacteristic.
Yeah, it was. Didn't he miss one in a Super Bowl or missed an extra point and they ended up losing by 1? Maybe it was an AFC championship game.
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. I can't recall.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But yeah, usually Mr. Reliable, but you know, momentum is such a huge thing, especially because the Eagles had that momentum because of that their fourth down work and getting that touchdown on fourth down, or it being 3rd down and 6 and then Nick Foles doing a bootleg and then throwing on the run to his left. Just yeah, they just had the momentum the whole game.
Yeah, it was, again, just so fun to watch. Yep. Great game.
Yep, certainly was. All right, well, you got anything else to say about the game?
I was a little disappointed with the commercials. I there were some good ones, but, you know.
Boy, man.
You know, I just was expecting more.
The Eli and Odell dancing was pretty great. I also really liked the Peter Dinklage, Morgan Freeman, the Doritos versus Mountain Dew rap.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Did you notice how hard Tide was working to sort of fix up this whole Tide Pod mess?
Yeah, I thought they should just probably
it's a Super Bowl, and you're like, what? Did I just see a Tide Pod commercial or a Tide commercial?
Like, I know. It's just like, dude, this is the perfect time to just stay away. Like, do not put fuel on this fire. And that's, I think, all they did. Like, there's no looking good after. And it's not their own. It's not their fault other than looking like some juicy candy. Like, you know, like, you
and know, they had Jim Hopper out there doing the first commercial. You know what I'm talking about? He's the cop in Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That's good. Oh, I thought also
Hawkins, Indiana.
Hawkins, Indiana.
Yep. That's where Stranger Things took place.
Oh, okay.
It's not a real place.
Oh, yeah. Of course you know that.
That's a good show.
Well, no, not only that, Indiana.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. You know where I live right now in Muncie, Indiana, part of Close Encounters of the Third Kind happened here. Like, if you watch that movie, there's a scene that's, like, in a field, and at the bottom it says Muncie, Indiana. So I was watching this, I was like, what? When did this happen?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. All right, let's go ahead and get into the news. Kind of related to the Super Bowl here, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, who had committed to signing a contract to become the next Colts head coach, decided to not accept the head coaching job, which, you know,
douche
as a Colts
move.
Fan, yeah, it's very douche.
Move.
Yeah, huge. Very low integrity move. But as a Colts fan, I gotta say, like, I'm not mad that Josh McDaniels isn't gonna be the coach. All right, that's not why Colts fans are mad. We were okay with McDaniels because anything was better than Pagano. Like, right. That's why we were all right with McDaniels. The
hey now
part is that the Colts hired three assistant coaches that McDaniels wanted.
Right.
And then decided to go back. And you know what? This is Kraft just wanting revenge for Deflategate. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean,
there's that rumor. Schefter actually tweeted that.
Yeah, I saw that. And, you know, I didn't want to have too much an opinion on this just because, you know, I don't really like to talk too much about people, you know, like in their character and all. But I thought this was
just the Patriots. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, but I just thought this was just low. You know, I just thought this was low. Like,
yeah,
it was just the way everything was done. You know, like, you know, as you were talking about it, they already hired this. This was bad. This was bad.
And, you know, I also heard that there's a rumor that Bill Belichick isn't going to be coaching too much longer. So McDaniels wanted to stay there so that he would have the head coaching job. Like, maybe he had been told by Kraft that, yeah, just wait a little while longer. You'll be the head coach of the Patriots.
And I could see that. I can see all of that. It's just, you know, I mean, he needs to at least come out and have some sort of a press conference. He has to have some sort of people that, you know, get his integrity back a little bit, something, you know, because I mean, I think it's important. I don't think it's cool for him to just withdraw and just go into the silence, go into the off season like nothing happened. And like, right. This, you know, like he didn't actually, I don't know. This really rubs me wrong.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Colts fan, not mad that we didn't get McDaniels, just mad about the way that he went about
right.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly. The Los Angeles Rams are expected to release Tavon Austin, which, you know, good for all the other wide receivers there. It frees up more money for Sammy Watkins, and they want to bring him back.
Yeah, and I guess the backup running back will get a little bit more carries as well. Austin always seems to steal some carries from, I don't know, it seems like Tavon Austin is the backup running back at times. It was weird.
Yeah, he didn't really get a whole lot of usage this season.
No, yeah.
Seasons past, he played out of that backfield a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. But this is a good move for them. I would like to see him on another team. I do like Tavon Austin's talent and what he can bring. I like the potential. We haven't really seen his full potential.
He's going to end up on the Patriots.
That's very possible. Very possible. Deshaun Watson resumed running on Monday. Very good sign for him. Good for Texans fans that he's going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
He was having a huge year.
Yeah, I mean, he was just making everyone in the offense, you know, Fuller, Hopkins was already doing great things. Lamar Miller was really starting to take off and looking like RB1 under Deshaun Watson. You know, and then he just kind of went back to being Lamar Miller after he went down. But, you know, like, yeah, I mean, that's very exciting for their offense and for their fans.
Certainly is. So good for them. I'm assuming that he's probably going to be ready by the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Quarterback, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, should be. Yep.
Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia is now officially the Lions head coach. We talked about that a little bit at the beginning of the show. And I'm sure the Lions are thrilled to have a defensive-minded coach after what the Patriots did in the Super Bowl on defense.
Yeah, where was the defense there?
Yep. But you know what? Detroit hasn't had one in a while either. They had a fantasy-relevant one at the beginning of the season, but, you know, they're still losing games.
And I like that they're keeping Jim Bob Cooter, because I really love that offense.
Last piece of news here. Rob Gronkowski said at the podium after the Super Bowl that he is going to look at his future. I think this is a non-story. I think this is just being reported to keep him in the headlines. He's probably – I mean, he just had to be feeling down about that, but I don't think he's going to retire.
No. No, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a down moment, you know. This is not news to me.
Yep, I would agree. All right, well, you got anything else for news you wanna go over?
No, I mean, it's not really much going on right now. We're unfortunately heading into the dead season. You know, we're only thing we're going to be reporting on these shows that we do every week is probably who got arrested or you know, stuff like that, you know.
Back to the NFL offseason.
Yep. Nothing else, though. Arrested. Nothing else, yeah. Nothing
well,
else.
Hopefully nothing worse than what Robbie Anderson did happens.
Well, certainly there'll be at least one or two, you know.
you want to take bets now on who it's going to be?
I think the over under is probably an easier bet to take. You know, like how many more arrests this season? And it sucks that we're but these guys are targeted too, right?
Yeah. Yep. Can't really speculate. I would say under 5.
Under 5? Really?
Under 5.
Okay, I'll take the over.
All right, there we go. Mark it down. Mark it down. We're going to wrap up the show here with a little segment that we're going to start doing the next few weeks, and that is talking about year 2 quarterbacks. So we've got two of them this week, and it's going to be Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Kizer, and we're going to start with Patrick Mahomes. Now, technically, this will be his second year in the NFL, but it's basically his rookie year as a quarterback. I mean, he's stepping in. He is the guy for the Kansas City Chiefs after they traded Alex Smith away, which, you know, he's got a great opportunity. He's coming in. He's got Travis Kelce. He's got Kareem Hunt. He's got Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's got one at every position who's at the top of their game.
Yeah, I think he's in a great position to succeed. You know, the team has certainly set him up for success. You know, he had 284 against Denver at Denver. And an interception, you know, he didn't get a touchdown, but he made, Albert Wilson? Yeah, he made Albert Wilson look very relevant.
Yes, he
10
did.
Receptions, 147 yards, I believe. So, I mean, Tyreek Hill can easily, you know, replicate that. So Patrick Mahomes, really like him this year, you know, in a two-quarterback league. I think he's going to certainly have some relevance.
Yeah, I think so, too. One-quarterback league, I'm going to say probably not draftable.
No, not at all. He's going to be a streamer unless he, shows a lot of good stuff. You know, who knows? You know, there's always sneaky quarterbacks that pop into the top 12 list. If he's really good, maybe he'll be number 12, you know, or maybe he'll surprise us. But, yeah, I think that's the most I think we can expect from him right now. Again, you know, you said he is. I guess it's his second year, really his rookie year. So really next year is going to be his really what we'll see the most from him because we haven't seen much from him.
Right. And he's certainly not yet a finished product as a passer, but he is a dual threat quarterback. He's an agile guy. He's aggressive. He's strong, which, you know, could we say that about Alex Smith?
No. I mean, he's definitely got an arm on him, you know. I mean, and, you know, it's nice for the Chiefs, you know, what they, you know, the fact that they moved him, you know, Alex Smith, they got a third round pick for him. They got a really good cornerback.
Kendall Fuller, yeah. Yeah,
you know, like probably the best cornerback out of the
Kendall Fuller slot. Didn't even know he'd been traded.
Yeah. I mean, same thing with, unfortunately, same thing with the Kirk Cousins, you know. I mean, and then they get to start the guy that they moved up. You know, in the draft to get. They moved up 17 spots to draft him in the first round.
So, and they didn't have to pay Alex Smith $17
million. No, yeah. So, I mean, this is
a good move.
Brilliant moves. I mean, they won in so many ways.
The Chiefs made out like bandits on this one.
Yep.
So we already talked about probably undraftable in a one-quarterback league, but I want to talk about two-quarterback leagues because nearly every quarterback gets drafted in two QB leagues because everybody likes right. to have a backup for bye weeks. So I was thinking about this. Who would you rather have next year? So Patrick Mahomes or Mitchell Trubisky?
Oh.
Because Trubisky's got nearly a full season of experience, but I think I'm leaning towards Mahomes just because of the weapons.
He does have better weapons. He's set up, you know, for success more. It seems like with Trubisky, they kind of let him along slowly with those first four games or so. And then they kind of let off the reins a little bit of him, you know, after the bye week. But even after that, he still didn't really do too much. I mean, again, he was a rookie, but his best game was week 14 against Eddie.
Wasn't there a game where he only had seven attempts?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, they really held him back. I think, you know, if it wasn't for some of his, you know, his rushing yards in games like week 8, week 11, you know, week 16, you know, we have 44 yards week 16 against Cleveland. He had 53 against Detroit and 53 against New Orleans. Other than those games, you know, he would have just completely done it for you. And other than those games, he really only had two games where, you know, you were able to start him and he was serviceable for you. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I definitely would lean Mahomes. You know, sorry, Nick.
What about in a dynasty league? Who would you take first?
I think Mahomes.
Yep, I think I lead that way too. I haven't seen much from Trubisky that makes me think the Bears made the right call.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say
I'm not saying Trubisky sucks, but I haven't seen it yet.
Right, and I will say, I mean, given though we did see some flashes, not much at all, maybe one or two of Carson Wentz last year, and what he did this year was just completely stellar. So, I mean, it's possible.
Patty Mahomes, there you go. The other quarterback, as we mentioned, DeShone Kizer, Cleveland Browns rookie going into his second year. I'm not sure if he's going to be a starter, but he was thrown into the fire rookie year on a team that, you know, I thought was going to be a lot better than they were. I thought the Browns were going to get at least 5 wins because they did upgrade that offensive line and they did have Corey Coleman, you know, fully healthy, and Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, who were both really good, and David Njoku, who was supposed to be to come in and, you know, pick up right off the bat, but he didn't have a whole lot of help. He looked good in the pocket a lot of the times. He didn't panic. He made a lot of good throws, but he holds onto the ball longer than Jacoby Brissett did.
Yeah.
I mean, it just took a lot of sacks, took a lot of hits.
Yeah, and there were times where, you know, even the backups, you know, around him looked better when they entered the game and made other, you know, the skill positional players look better at times. But, you know, they spent, you know, whatever they spent on him. But, yeah, I don't envision him being, you know, nothing more than a backup next year. I think they're going to go out there and get another quarterback, whether they're going to go down and chase Kirk Cousins or trade for him if Redskins really are, you know, leaning toward a franchise tagging him. I see them going after a quarterback. They need a quarterback. They have other pieces. They have a decent team around them. You know, they just, you know, went after Todd Haley. You know, we've seen what he can do as far as the offense. I think they're a quarterback away from being a special team and maybe a coach away, because I'm not sure they have the right coach. Even though I really like their coach initially, I thought he was going to do great things for the running game because, you know, I mean, Hugh Jackson, he usually runs, I think, like about maybe 5% more than other coaches in the league. We didn't see that. Probably game script, but, you know, they've got something to look forward to at least.
You know, I think that Cleveland, actually, they've got the picks to I guess they wouldn't even be trading for Kirk Cousins, but I think if they're going to go for a quarterback, instead of drafting a crap one for the umpteenth time in a row,
right,
why not try to get Kirk Cousins, who's going to be a free agent? The Redskins would be very smart to tag him.
Right. It would be very smart.
It would be, because they're going to get something in return, and it would be very – and Kirk Cousins would sign that franchise tag.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't he?
he already said
he would.
$30 million if he signs it, because his pay would go up 20% from $24 million to $30
million. Insane.
So why would you not sign that, knowing that they're going to try to trade you and your contract so that they can get something in return rather than just letting you go? You know they're going to trade you. Get your $30 million.
What did he make last year?
24.
So he's going to make $50 million at least guaranteed between last year and this year.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins is going to make $50 million in 2 years.
Man.
Pretty crazy.
And what's crazy is, you usually don't hear these numbers for football players, you know, in general.
There aren't really a whole lot of times where a franchise quarterback is available in free agency. That just doesn't happen. When teams find one, they give them extensions. They keep them.
Yeah, it's just good business to do so.
but that's true. But this doesn't happen for teams very often. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns are trying to get an already established franchise quarterback. Now, they could draft Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, who have both said that they would be okay playing with the Browns, which is dumb for them to say. But, you know, what if the Browns do trade for Kirk Cousins before the NFL draft starts? And then Isaiah Crowell, who was a free agent, the Browns decide to let him go and then draft Saquon Barkley.
Wow, that'd be impressive.
And that, I think that all depends on if they're going to get Kirk Cousins. But
that's what they should be trying to do.
That's what they should be trying to do. But then once they got Barkley, they could move Duke Johnson to wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about putting moving him as a wide receiver anyway last year, but they never really fully designated him as one. But yeah, we might see that this year.
Right. I mean, if you put Cousins out there with Corey Coleman, another year of David Njoku, Josh Gordon. Barkley behind him. I mean, and Duke Johnson also out of the slot. Like, that sounds like an awesome offense.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it would still be the Browns.
Right.
But all they have to do is sign Cousins and draft Barkley, and they've got that.
Yeah. This is a beautiful plan that should be executed fairly easy, I would think. I don't think it's very difficult to do this. This is be a really good offseason for them if they're able to do it. Like I said, you know, they're not that far away. But yeah, like you said, they're still the Browns. They'll still be the Browns. So even if they are that far away, not that far away.
They had a great draft last year, right? They got Myles Garrett and Jabril Peppers.
They did.
Yeah. So maybe they'll keep it up for the second year in a row.
They draft very well every year, but sometimes they just don't hold on to players.
I wish they'd held on to Trent Richardson. He was so bad, man.
That was a wise move.
He can't walk through an open door.
I lost two running backs in that trade. Actually, well, I lost one because I had drafted Trent Richardson that year in the first round.
Rookie.
Yeah, I drafted him like late in the first round, I think eighth. And then I had Ahmad Bradshaw. So when he got traded, I was just like, oh, my God.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and talk about if Kizer is still the Browns. Because we were talking about DeShone Kizer to begin with. So let's go back to him. If he's still the quarterback, undraftable in a 1 QB, right?
100%.
Okay. We agree there. But let's think about two quarterback league. What about Kizer or Mahomes?
Mahomes?
Yeah, I think I would lean that way too. Kizer or Trubisky? Knowing that Kizer is going to be the quarterback.
I'd lean Trubisky.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I would lean Kizer there because I like the weapons around him a lot more.
I do. I just I don't know. I don't like what I saw. I think I saw maybe one or two more flashes from Trubisky than I did from Kizer.
Yeah, and you can certainly see that with Kizer. The potential is there. I mean, there were times where he looked like an established veteran quarterback.
Well, he's had some playmaking times, you know, like he made some great plays, but
avoided sacks.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not much of a believer in him. I'd love for him to come out and prove me wrong this year and come out there with a chip on his shoulder because he knows he's got to prove it. He's going to have to prove it in camp. He's going to have to beat a guy. Whether it's a veteran or whether it's a guy that they drafted, if he's still there, if they don't trade him away.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, I think it would be, if they don't get Cousins, I think they'd be better off just rolling with Kizer for another year.
Yeah, I think still draft a quarterback and just have him compete.
Yeah, they do it every year.
Yep. Yeah.
That part of the Browns draft isn't going to change. And one last thing I want to mention before we end the show. We love everyone who listens to the show and those of you who enjoy the show every single week. So we have an end of the season giveaway, an autographed 100% certified Michael Crabtree jersey from Pristine Auction. And winning this is easy. All you have to do, just go to iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or wherever you listen to us. Drop us a nice review if we've helped you out this year. Take a screenshot and email that to us at sleeperwire@gmail.com with your name. And we're going to randomly pick a winner at the end of the month. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Sleeper Wire Show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Sleeper Wire Show. You can find us on our website at sleeperwire.com. You can, during the season, check out all of our weekly rankings there. We keep them updated every week. There's a place to submit a question. You can support Rob, who's the whole reason that we do this show. You can find us on Sleeperbot at Professor Chris and at Prophet Hoos. And then you can also find us on the Fantasy Life app at Professor Chris and at Hoos the Prophet. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.